Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome back to Ask Rob and Rob. My word, are we excited? We've got so many questions lined up, you wonderful group of people. Thank you. But we want to run the show for the whole year as we normally do. So make sure your questions keep coming in so we can roll all year. So, Rob, I'm sure with Christmas and New Year, some people may have forgotten how they can get their question into the show. It's possible. So let's remind them.
I hope I can remember the number now. Okay. 013-808-0035. There we go. 013-808-0035. Thank you. Or go to propertyhub.net/ask. Send us a question and we will give you an answer on the show, just like we're about to right now for Will.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Will here. Thanks to the Property Hub podcast, which I've been listening to for about 3 years, I now have 2 buy-to-lets. So I'd like to expand the portfolio and acquire more properties, but after the next property crash and once I've saved up some more funds for deposits. So in the meantime, I've got some savings in cash. Now, given where mortgage rates are now, i.e. significantly higher than savings rates, I'm thinking about paying off a lump sum when I renew my residential mortgage in about a year's time, with a view to then pulling it back out again in 2027 or thereabouts to expand the buy-to-let portfolio. So the advantage here would be that the mortgage interest savings would be higher than the interest I get on the savings in cash. And the key risk I can see is not being able to pull it back out again in 2027 if lenders were to tighten their criteria, if I had a change in circumstances, as well as the fact that I wouldn't have access to the cash in the meantime for any other opportunities. So it'd be great to get your guys' thoughts on this and whether you think it's even worth the hassle. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Will, thank you for your question. A lot of people are going to be in this situation now and wrestling against similar things. So what you really want, ideally, is an offset mortgage. So there's not as many offsets around as there used to be. You can't get them on buy-to-lets, but you can get them on sometimes on your own home, which is what we're talking about here. That would be ideal because the way that those work is you basically have a mortgage which is linked to a savings account and your mortgage balance is reduced each month by whatever value you've got in your savings account. So to keep it really simple, if your mortgage is at a rate of 5%, and you've got cash in that linked savings account, which is reducing your mortgage balance, then that's the equivalent of that cash earning you 5%, which is more than you could probably get from it in the bank. And it gives you that flexibility that you can put money in and out whenever you want to. You may not be able to get that because, like I say, there aren't so many of those around. If you can get one, that would be amazing. So speak to a broker. If you can't, then it's a bit more tricky because you're completely right about the risk. The risk is that you pay your mortgage down and then when a great buying opportunity emerges, you won't be able to extend that mortgage again to pull cash back out. And the reason for that is that if there are lots of buying opportunities, it's probably because the property market is not doing very well. And when the property market isn't doing very well, especially if it's in a big way, lenders tend to lose their appetite for lending either at higher loan to values or lending at all. So the best place to be when a crash comes around is in cash. Obviously, if you do stay in cash between now and the date that you've talked about in about 4 years' time, then it's going to be costing you. So that's the decision for you to make. What's worse? Is it worse for you to have that extra cost now where you're kind of carrying cash that you don't really need yet? Or would it be worse if you come to a situation where there's loads of great stuff you want to buy, but you just can't do it because you can't extend your mortgage again? That's a question only you could answer. So I say, look into the offset route first. If that works, then perfect. If it doesn't work, then that's the decision that you'll be making. And that's one that unfortunately we can't help you with. So good luck wrestling with it.
Good luck, Will. Let's see if we can help our next listener who's put a question in, and it's Rafaela.
Hi, Rob and Rob. This is Rafaela, and thank you for the great content. I'm a fanatic listener twice a week. I usually invest in houses, old stock, which I refurbish, I let and then refinance with the buy-to-let and the HMO strategy. And I now got an offer for an off-plan purchase for an apartment as a holiday let. Now, numbers are very blingy and I'll have to do my research on that, but it sounds so attractive. And my question is, what questions should I be asking the sales manager about buying off plan in a development that is predominantly apartments? I don't know what different questions I should be asking in compared to my usual houses that I buy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your question. Yes, buying off plan is different and you should take a different approach. There are a few different things to look out for. So I'm really pleased to hear that you are doing your research, and your research should extend beyond the numbers. Where you need to extend that research to is the developer themselves. So this developer needs to complete, obviously, right? But not all developers do complete developments. Now, I'm not trying to scare you off because most do, but it's a nightmare when it doesn't happen. So make sure the developer has got a track record. They've done this before. They're financially in a strong place. I mean, if it's a national developer, then I'm sure that'll all be fine. But if it's a local developer, you need to make sure they're in a good position. So if you are happy with the numbers and you're happy with the developer, the next thing that you need to do that's slightly different is put down a deposit in advance of it completing. Now, typically, that number is 10%. A 10% deposit is required on an off-plan purchase. Now, I've seen off-plan properties being marketed with deposits as high as 50%, and sometimes stage payments taking it even beyond that, 75%. That is crazy. Do not do that. Never, ever go beyond 10%. An off-plan property investment in a growing market is one of the strongest investments that you can make in property, because you're only putting 10% down, but you're controlling 100% of the assets. So during the off-plan period, if the property goes up by 5% and you've only put 10% down, then on paper, you've made a 50% return on investment. Now, that's all wonderful, but that would only work, obviously, with a small deposit. So your investment is enhanced by having a small deposit down. But it's not the only reason you want to have a small deposit, because the more you put down, the more risk you have. And it's quite hard to protect a deposit beyond 10%. Now, I've seen schemes marketed where they say your deposit is protected, but it's not really. Make sure you have an independent solicitor. Do not take a solicitor from the seller, because they sometimes may be in the back pocket of that developer. Shouldn't happen, but I've seen it happen. So be careful. Now, your own solicitor needs to look at your deposit and make sure that it is protected. Sometimes it could be held in escrow, which is rock solid. You don't need to worry if it is. Sometimes the developer has access to your 10% deposit, but it's backed by some sort of insurance. And the insurance may be provided by the warranty provider of that property. When you buy a new home, it will typically come with a 10-year warranty. And some warranty providers, again, not all, will protect your deposit up to 10%. So it's something that your solicitor needs to look into. So while there's a lot to consider, as I've said, it may be worthwhile, because off-plan property investment can be very, very attractive and be a great way to increase your wealth. But it can also go very wrong if you don't take the steps I've just outlined. So a little bit more to do, but if you go through it step by step, and after all, it is only research, you'll be able to get yourself into a position where you'll be able to make an informed decision and the right decision. So don't be put off just because it's off-plan, but do the research.
Well, there you go. Starting the year the right way. Two questions answered, plenty more to come. So we'll be back again with more Ask Rob and Rob next week. And of course, before then, we will see you on Thursday for the Property Podcast. Have a good week till then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.